Trib Live Radio presents The Josh Taylor Show, Wednesdays 2 p.m. to 3 p.m.
I just asked him to buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
I don't care if he ever gets back.
The young voice of Pittsburgh sports, Trib Total Media. See what's next.
You can do it all night long!
Now, JT on TLR.
It's officially happening, folks. Voldemort and his Death Eaters have arrived in Pittsburgh. The Dementors are circling the North Shore. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Dark Lord has returned. And he now has to face your Pittsburgh Pirates one last time, one last battle. Make sure your wands are at the ready. Because there will be one last duel for the right to advance in the Major League Baseball postseason. For those of you who don't read Harry Potter books and have not watched the movies, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But thank you for suffering that 15 seconds. You are listening to The Josh Taylor Show on Trib Live Radio. Trying, as always, to get you over the hump on another Wednesday afternoon. Wild Card Wednesday, as fate would have it. Pirates and Cubs, PNC Park. We will expound more on this game in about an hour during Pirates Preview. Pretty good show coming up for there. Jason Rawlison from Run Burner will join us. We will break this pitching matchup down to the ground between Gerrit Cole and Jake Arrieta. But if you have read the Trib Live Radio blog in the last 24 hours or so, then you've probably read what I'm about to touch on. And if you haven't, I suggest that you do, because here's what I'm going to tell you, and I broke this down in my blog, and I'll touch on it briefly here. I understand that people are afraid of the prospect of facing Jake Arrieta the third time in 3 weeks. I understand. I understand he has historically had the best second half in Major League Baseball history by any pitcher. I get it. And I do understand he is the one thing standing in the way of the Pirates advancing to the NLDS, where the St. Louis Cardinals are waiting. Trust me, I've heard it ad nauseum over the past few days. But here's the one thing I'm going to tell you that should at least give you hope. And if you don't have hope, then you probably didn't have it to begin with, in which case just go home and stay there, because you wanted to leave anyway. But here's the one thing that should give you hope. The Pirates have a pretty good pitcher on the mound, too. Wait a minute, let me get my script. Hold on. I don't know if you guys know this. The Pirates have a pretty good pitcher, too. His name is Gerrit Cole. He made the All-Star team this year because he's really good. Smile. Yeah, Gerrit Cole starting in the wild card game tonight. Now, let me remind everyone out there, because the main criticism after last year's wildcard game was the Pirates shouldn't have trotted out Gerrit Cole on the final day of the regular season, even though they were in a division race, even though it relied upon the Pirates winning and the Cardinals losing. But the problem with Gerrit Cole starting on the final day of the regular season was if the Pirates indeed lost to the Reds, or if the Cardinals won afterward and the Pirates didn't have a shot at winning the division, then you didn't have Gerrit Cole for the wildcard game to face Madison Bumgarner. I will make the case that as good as Bumgarner pitched last year, it may not have mattered. Then again, it may have mattered had Cole started, in which case, that was a valid argument last year. Now, here's the weird part. You got Cole starting a wild card game. It was dictated a week ago. Cole starting a wild card game, and people are still afraid. I don't understand. Last year, you wanted Cole going up against Baumgartner. You didn't get it. You were mad. Now, this year's version of Baumgartner, because I don't call Madison Baumgartner last year's Jake Arrieta. I call Jake Arrieta this year's Madison Baumgartner. Madison Baumgartner was already a good postseason pitcher before last year. He had already won a World Series before he faced the Pirates last year in the wild card game. And you know what he did in the World Series before he faced the Pirates in the wild card game? He was pretty good there, too. Actually, I can't even call Jake Arrieta this year's Madison Bumgarner, because guess what? Jake Arrieta's never pitched in the postseason. So it's hard to even call him that. So Jake Arrieta remains in his own category. He's this year's Jake Arrieta. But here's the thing. Hottest pitcher in the National League. You now have your ace facing him. You wanted him last year. You didn't get him. You got him this year, and you still don't believe. What more do you want? Do I have to remind you that Jake Arrieta got hot after the All-Star break, but Gerrit Cole was an All-Star? Do we have to go that route, or is that going too far? Do I have to remind you that Gerrit Cole has faced good pitchers in this league, and quite a few this season, and he's beaten most of them? Do I have to remind you, Gerrit Cole faced off against Clayton Kershaw, and Gerrit Cole beat him? Do I have to remind you that Gerrit Cole's first three starts as a major league pitcher, just being called up from AAA, were against Tim Lincecum, Zach Greinke, Jarrett Weaver? Between those three, two Cy Youngs for Lincecum, one for Greinke, Jarrett Weaver, the three previous years. Now, bear in mind, Gerrit Cole got called up in June of 2013. The three previous years, 2010, 2011, 2012, Jarrett Weaver was in the top five of the Cy Young voting all three of those years. He faced those three guys, Lincecum, Greinke, Weaver, in a row, and beat all three. Go on being scared of Jake Arrieta if you want to. I'm cool with having Gerrit Cole. I'm perfectly fine with it. You have the closest thing to a big game pitcher in Pittsburgh that we've seen in 23 years. 23 years ago, that guy was Doug Drabek, and he won a Cy Young. You got a guy right now who will probably be in the top five of the National League Cy Young voting and will probably be so for the next several years. And there are people that still don't believe. And what have I been saying for the past few days? When you face a good pitcher, you don't try to beat a good pitcher. You try to match a good pitcher. That's the only way you can beat a good pitcher. Well, there's two ways. One, you hope he makes mistakes, which with Jake Arrieta recently is a lot to hope for. Or you have your guy match him. I really believe last year the difference in the wild card game between the Pirates and the Giants was the Pirates didn't have a guy that could match Bumgarner because that guy had already thrown. 2 years ago, you know why the Pirates beat the Reds? Because the Pirates had a guy that could match Johnny Cueto and eventually outlasted him when Cueto started to falter in Francisco Liriano. Honestly, you could make a case like Liriano might be the better matchup for tonight because some Cubs hitters can't hit Liriano, but that's a different topic. Point is this. Hottest pitcher in the National League versus best young pitcher in the National League. Oh yeah, by the way, Gerrit Cole's 25 and has already pitched two postseason games. And in those games, those 11 innings that he's pitched in the postseason, 3 earned runs allowed, 11 strikeouts. I'm sticking with this. I made my prediction earlier in the day. Arrieta is good. We know that. Even great. Gerrit Cole is good. And he's even great when the situation calls for it. Gerrit Cole lives for games like this. If you don't think Gerrit Cole wanted to be the wild card game starter last year, you're not paying enough attention to this team. Every big game this team plays, Gerrit Cole wants the ball. Wants it. That makes all the difference. That is what a star pitcher does. That is what an ace is made of. Gerrit Cole has all of it. He has the pedigree. He has the talent. He has the mental makeup. Everything you want in a top line starter. And now he is on the mound for the biggest game of your season. What it all boils down to. You've got a linebacker on the mound with the mentality of insert name of notorious person here. Genghis Khan. William the Conqueror. The dude's a fighter. Let's put it that way. Alexander the Great. Take your pick. But you got a 6'4", 230-pound freight train that can touch triple digits on a radar gun, on the mound, in the biggest game for your team season. And all you can worry about is the other guy. That's insanity. If anything, you should be thinking, why isn't the other team worried about our guy? But we'll touch more on that in about an hour during Pirates Preview. Also, Pirates pregame tonight at 6 o'clock, Mike Graw in studio. So we're going up till first pitch with the preview for tonight's game. We got plenty of Pirates and Cubs talk coming here on Triple I Radio. It being Wednesday, we talk a lot about Jagoff of the Week. Some of the stupid, ridiculous, and just outlandish things people either say and or do. And every once in a while, somebody will drop in a Jag-on of the Week, which I'm still trying to understand how that works, but you understand the premise of it. Somebody doing something great or somebody doing something that's noteworthy. And this is something I've thought about doing, and it's not just necessarily to counteract for the sake of counteracting Jagoff of the Week, but it's something I think that should be pointed out more often. It's something I'm going to start doing more on this show. If you remember, wasn't too far from this time last year, I talked about socially conscious athletes and why I do think they are needed and why I do think they are necessary. So I'm going to switch things up here. I'm going to add something, a new element that I'm going to call That's What's Up. Because if you know me, you know me long enough, if I find something I like, I go, That's What's Up. That's going to be a new part of this show. I see something that I think is noteworthy. If I see something that I think is worth pointing it out, That's What's Up. And our first That's What's Up on the Josh Taylor Show is going to be for the minor league teams in the state of South Carolina. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, there's a lot of serious things going on right now in the state of South Carolina. A lot of it is because of really, really terrible flooding in the state because of the storms over the past week or so. And four minor league teams in the state of South Carolina, the Charleston River Dogs, the Columbia Fireflies, the Greenville Drive, and the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, each of these teams are banding together to help with flood relief in the state of South Carolina. These four teams are teaming up to support the fans and the residents of their state by they're creating a GoFundMe page, but it's a joint GoFundMe page. So these four teams are creating one GoFundMe page to raise money for the American Red Cross of the Palmetto, South Carolina region. Each of these four teams, they've started with a contribution of $2,500 to the fund, and their goal is to raise $100,000 to help the American Red Cross with flooding relief in the state of South Carolina. As much as you hear, as many negative things you hear in the world of sports, and Greg Hardy being one of those recent things being added to the list, being activated for the Dallas Cowboys and pretty much showing no signs of remorse at all for anything that might have happened with him and why he was suspended in the first place. Things like that. Things like the Patrick Kane investigation. So many negative things surrounding the world of sports and its athletes and its teams. Like pretty much every other thing that happens in the NFL, for instance. You don't hear a lot about positive things being done. And remember what I said last year, I think it was around last November, when Ike Taylor talked about passing out turkeys in New Orleans for families that need them during the holidays. Kevin Durant, after the tornado in Moore, Oklahoma, the Oklahoma City suburb, where he was helping rebuild and meeting families there. This is a moment where life is bigger than the game. And the Charleston River Dogs, Columbia Fireflies, Greenville Drive, Myrtle Beach Pelicans, what you were doing, that's what's up. Because you do have a level of responsibility. Not only as professional players, not only as professional sports organizations, but merely and basically as human beings. To be able to help other people. And if you can, you do so. That in and of itself is something that I salute. Because there may not even be enough people who aren't professional athletes or don't work for professional sports franchises that may have that kind of presence of mind, that kind of compassion, and that kind of social consciousness to do something like this. So to those four teams, I do take my hat off. Well, not literally because I have a headset on, but you know what I mean. But once again, not to overstate it, Charleston River Dogs, Columbia Fireflies, Greenville Drive, Myrtle Beach Pelicans, for their assistance in South Carolina, that is this week's and our inaugural That's What's Up on the Josh Taylor Show. Right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, got a good friend of mine hanging out in the studio. If you're watching our webcam, you can probably see him. He's got his nice black and gold Pirates pullover here. He's going to the game tonight, which makes me kind of hate him. But, you know, he's kind of a jet setter. He gets around. This dude goes to the ESPYs. Like, he's like hanging out with pro athletes at the ESPYs. I mean, there's times I just want to shake him. Anyway, although he is a good friend of mine, and he's a colleague. We've worked together on a lot of great projects and had some great times. We have some ridiculous stories to tell, by the way. Matt Fargo, if you remember the last time we had Matt on the show, it was around the time of the Whippeal Football Championships. We will talk a little high school football because he does some really good work with the Champ Sports Network there. And some other things. We're going to talk a lot of stuff going on in the area. Steelers season. It's had its ups and downs already. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the wild card game. We'll talk about Pens. They dropped the puck tomorrow night in Dallas. So we'll hit on all those things. We'll talk high school football. We might even talk a little Pitt-Penn State. We'll see what we can get around to. Matt Fargo joining us here on the Josh Taylor Show on Trib Live Radio. Don't forget, top of the hour, Pirates preview coming up. Talking baseball going into the wild card round. But in the meantime, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're talking with Matt Fargo here on Trib Live Radio.
Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on Trib Live Radio, don't miss Wrestling Reality with Justin Labar, brought to you by Gladiators of the Cage, online at GOTCMMA.com. Justin talks to the biggest stars in the WWE and brings you the latest scoop in the world of wrestling. Plus, he takes your calls every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Wrestling Reality on Trib Live Radio, brought to you by Gladiators of the Cage. Follow them on Twitter at GladiatorMMA412. Now back to the Josh Taylor Show on Trib Live Radio.
Root, root, root for our home team, a new pirate generation. Everybody shout,
let's go, Pirates!
I don't get to do this often. So the few times when I could actually kind of dork out a bit and play music like this, I try to take advantage of it. And I played this music in honor of our next guest here because he's actually attending the game, and I'm going to take every effort possible to just hate on him as much as I possibly can. Dave Chappelle style, hate, 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 hate. I'm playing a little bit. He's a good friend of mine. He's a friend of the show. We've had him on before to talk high school football. We've had a few things happen since his last appearance. He's actually doing a lot of different things now. He's working with the Champ Sports Network still. But he also is doing some traffic reporting, too. So he's making the radio foray as well, and he should, because his voice is 10 times better than mine will ever be. And he's like 10 years younger than me. But anyway, which he likes to point out often.
Not like I am.
Well, you are. Okay. See? He points it out often. I warned you. Matt Fargo, good friend of mine, friend of the show, joining me right now on Trib Live Radio. Matt, let's jump right into this. First off, well, while we got you here and while we're on the subject of this and you're going to the game, we'll start with the wild card game. Your impressions, you were able to witness my little,
yeah, you're
my
geek.
Little, yeah, I kind of,
you are,
I kind of spout off from time to time, but there's,
I'm not a Harry Potter guy. So yeah. I was in the group that, was like, what is he saying?
Oh, it's going to get worse. If you follow me on Twitter, _ Josh Taylor, _, it's going to be ridiculous between now and first pitch and throughout the game. There will be Harry Potter tweets aplenty about the wild card game.
That's a first. I've never heard that.
Arietta's Voldemort, man. He is. He is.
I'm tired of this. I really am. I'm so sick. And for me, the biggest thing, I mean, we could talk, and they will, and we have, and everybody else will, but if this was flipped around, if the Pirates were making their return to the playoffs after a few years, the Cubs had hosted the wild card game the last 3 years. They have an all-star pitcher on the mound, and we have an upstart young man that has started to turn some things around, and he had one of the greatest second halves in Major League Baseball history. There's no doubt in my mind the Cubs would still be favored. And I especially if it was at Wrigley Field. It's just, to me, not only from the Chicago media, but even the Pittsburgh media, I just feel like everybody is counting the buckos out before this game even gets going. And, I just think this pitching matchup has really just been the horse is dead and the game hasn't started yet.
It's funny. I made this comment. This was during the last hour, during the college football locker room show with John Harris, Bob Cohn, and Jerry DiPaolo. During the break, while I was producing the show, I was talking to those three guys, and we got in the subject of the Arrieta hysteria gripping the town as it currently speaks. No dark clouds yet. I guess the Dementors haven't shown up yet. But the one comment I made, and it actually got a good laugh out of Bob Cohn, of all people, I said, I haven't heard this much hysteria about one guy coming to town since Hitler invaded Poland in 1939. that's the level that we're on right now.
Oh, it is. It's ridiculous. It is.
But I'll ask you about this. And you and I have discussed Pirates a lot over the years. And from what we remember during that 20 years and how it finally ended 2 years ago, but 2011, 2012, the team was up to going so well, then epic collapse one and then epic collapse two. It was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, we were clamoring for this to be different. We were clamoring for this team to actually have the big criticism against the Pirates, but they didn't have a major league roster. They didn't have major league players. They had no stars. You look at this team now. This team has a major league roster. It's got stars in Andrew McCutchen, Starling Marte, Junghoon Kang before he got injured was developing into a star player for this team. Actually, I think at the time he got hurt, I think he was second on the team in wins above replacement. He was actually developing into that guy. Neil Walker had become the local player that everybody can rally around. And I made the assertion a few weeks ago that this team had several players now that were marketable. They had a player in Walker that was marketable locally that they can use. They had a player in Andrew McCutchen that they could market nationally that they could use. They had several players in Junghoon Kang, in Starling Marte, Francisco Liriano, Gregory Polanco, that they could market internationally, whether in Latin America or in the Far East, that they could use to their advantage. They had so many different recognizable faces in different areas of this team. This team has really grown into a marketing and a marketable organization. This roster has become a lot different than what we've seen in years past. We've survived the Andy LaRoches and Chris Steins and Aki Uemura's. We actually survived those years to where you have a lineup where people are going, hey, that lineup is as good as any Major League Baseball. That pitching staff is as good as any Major League Baseball, and they may have the best bullpen left. And you look at all that, and there's still that one thing that people can't seem to take their focus off of. It kind of makes me laugh in a derisive laugh sort of way. I'm sitting there going, we've wanted this for years, we still have it, and people are still afraid. I just don't get it.
Well, all of that has changed, and the one thing that hasn't changed is we're still sixth lowest in payroll. And
that was another big criticism,
right,
of the team.
Right. That, oh, well, you have to spend money to be great. Do you? Do you? Talk to the Astros. Do you?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think those are the type of things where I think we were all complaining back in those early 2000 years where we were complaining about paying $20 to sit in the club level at PNC Park and watch bad baseball, and now we're complaining about paying thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars to see a wild card game in Pittsburgh that we've all been begging for. It's interesting. It's kind of the Yinzer-ness of Pittsburgh where we kind of want our cake and eat it too. Well, we want the cheap seats and we want this great team. And I think just a tip of the cap to the Pirates organization to be able to construct what they have and make this so marketable without breaking the bank. And we know that's never going to happen. But they've been able to do it. And, you know, Cubs are 11th in the MLB in payroll, and they have a bunch of young stars, and that's not going to last. A lot of those guys are not going to be in Chicago forever because they're not going to be able to pay them, especially if they all continue to develop as fast as they are.
And a really, really alarming rate. I mean, a lot of these guys really came on quickly. If you look at the guys like Schwarber and Chris Bryant becoming the player he has, Addison Russell and Soler and Baez, I mean, there's a list. You almost leave names off that list of players on this team that are so good. Not a lot of people want to use that against them. Oh, this team's so young, they're not ready for it yet. Maybe they got here a year too soon. And that's all well and good. But like you said, look at the Astros. What did the Astros just do last night? They went in with a low payroll and beat the Yankees. The lowest in the playoffs and beat the Yankees.
One lower than the Pirates.
At Yankee Stadium. And here's a number that I tend to dwell on. The entire Astros starting infield, making $27 million in salary this season. The Yankees had a $21 million outfielder that did not start last night.
Yeah.
Let that marinate. Because if nothing else should bring you to the conclusion of money guarantees you nothing, if that doesn't look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers have spent, what, almost $300 million on their payroll this year. And I don't even think they're one of the top three teams that come out of the National League.
No.
If you had to ask me now, the three teams I think that can win the National League pennant, Cardinals, Pirates, Cubs, not even the Dodgers. The Dodgers might be fifth on my list behind the Mets, and the Mets, I don't know if I trust them. They've got a young rotation all coming at the same time, DeGrom and Syndergaard and Mats and Harvey. All those guys are coming together at the same time, and I have more faith in them than I do the Dodgers, and they're spending that much money.
And going back to the point of about how this is getting matched up, and that, you know, even walking around and talking to people about the game, and there's not a lot of people, not a lot of Pirates fans, just regular fans that are even confident about how this game can go. And baseball's the hardest game to predict because one ball left 2 inches up, and it's a completely different ball game. But I think it's interesting when you start analyzing and trying to figure out, well, the Cubs are going to be able to come in here. They only have 13 players that have played playoff baseball.
Wow.
8 of them are pitchers that aren't named Jake Arrieta. Believe it or not.
And one of them is John Lester, and he's not starting his game.
Yeah, and I think there will probably be another one or two that of the other 5 that won't start either. So, again, you know, and I, you know, you talk, Fowler said this isn't going to be Wrigley. Well, when's the last time he was at Wrigley when they hosted a wild card game?
Oh, wait, he wasn't. And I have a response to that, too. It's like, oh, it's not going to be Wrigley Field. Yeah, because the stadium was built after Prohibition.
Yeah.
It was built after Coolidge was president. Maybe that's a clue. And I look at it from the standpoint of, and you mentioned it perfectly. In one game, anything can happen in one game. And we use that enough with the NFL playoffs. Mm-hmm. We use that enough with the NCAA tournament. But when it comes to the wild card game for the National League, we're not able to accept that one game anything can happen. Yeah. It's really, really interesting thinking. Now, let me move you on to this one, because there's been a lot of talk about what the lineup will be, who should play, who should not play. And the same 4 names tend to rotate as to who should play. Ramos Ramirez, Josh Harrison, Pedro Alvarez, and even Gregory Polanco now has been introduced in discussion. If you want to make it 6 names, you can talk Chris Stewart versus Francisco Cervelli. But honestly,
yeah,
I think that's really 6 and 6½ dozen of the other, in my opinion. I mean, one's going to give you one thing that the other one doesn't, and that's, I'm willing to call that a wash. But between those 4 names I mentioned, Alvarez, Polanco, Harrison, Ramirez, you're pretty much talking 4 guys in practically 2 spots. Or if you want to count first base as a possible thing, 4 guys in 3 spots. In which case, my question to you, who do you think should start this game and why?
Well, Pedro Alvarez should start at first base. I don't really even think Clint Hurdle's thinking about this. Ramirez has played, what, a handful of games at first base? There's no way that if I'm Ramirez, that I'm saying I don't want to play at first base. I just don't think there's a comfortness with Ramirez playing at first base. And, you know, we're just going to have to throw it up, and hopefully Pedro plays well at first base and does something with his bat as well. Josh Harrison at 3rd. I mean, I think that he just brings a little bit better with his glove. He's been so consistent lately. His bat's been on fire lately. To me, there's a no-brainer there. I mean, to me, they're no-brainers. And Polanco should clearly be in right. I mean, that's ludicrous.
So you're going with those 3, yeah. Alvarez, Harrison, and Polanco.
Yeah. And if you want to go with the Cervelli, I mean, I know the relationship between Stewart and Cole, and I get it, but you know, Clint Hurdle was smart. He gave Cervelli some opportunities with Cole. It went well. It didn't not go well. And I just think I trust Cervelli's bat a little bit more than I do Stewart. So, yeah, that's where I'm going.
The argument between Cervelli and Stewart, you always hear, well, Cole pitches better with Stewart. Yeah, that's true. And there was the whole talk about the whole personal catcher thing. That was not Garrett Cole's decision. That was Clint Hurdle's decision. Yeah. After, I believe, it was the first 8 starts of the season, Clint Hurdle wanted to try Chris Stewart with Garrett Cole. A couple of those were just routine days off for Cervelli, so he started Stewart. And after 8 starts, Clint Hurdle realized he had 4 starts with Cervelli and 4 with Stewart, and the 4 with Stewart were better. So he stuck with Stewart to see how it went, and the numbers spoke for themselves. But what people don't realize is the staff ERA as a whole is better with Chris Stewart behind the dish. It's not just Garrett Cole. Chris Stewart, I think, honestly, is just maybe a little bit of a better maybe a better pitch caller, maybe a better game caller, maybe it's the pitch framing, but Chris Stewart, you get a little bit extra on defense there as far as ERA. Now, granted, Stewart might be the lesser of the two as far as throwing out runners when they steal.
Yeah.
So that's maybe the one thing you trade off, and then you also trade off the offense, obviously, with Cervelli having the season that he's had. But
and then you looked at third base with Harrison. Another point to that is between McCutchen and Walker are the only two that hit above the Mendoza line against Arrieta to this point. Harrison's the only other one that has an extra base hit against him. To me, that's a clear matchup. To me, I'm really comfortable with Ramirez coming off the bench in a pinch hit situation later in the game. You know, sixth, seventh inning, if you're tied or trying to get something going offensively, bring Ramirez in as a bat. I think it really locks in it's something the Pirates haven't had in a long time, is someone really to come off the bench and know that, well, you're not crossing your fingers necessarily on, well, please just don't go up there and strike out, because Gerrit Cole could do that.
Matt Fargo joining us right now on the Josh Taylor Show on Triple Live Radio. To your point, Matt, about Josh Harrison, I agree with you. Only other guy with an extra base hit against Arrieta. And the thing I like about Josh Harrison is, and this was front and center on Sunday. I pointed this out, I believe it was Monday. I pointed this out. The way that the Pirates put runs together on Sunday against Cincinnati, three of the runs they scored of the four were runs where someone hit a double and then someone behind him drove that guy in. And two of those three, the guy who drove him in hit a double. It's been a theory of mine for a long time. Doubles start and sustain rallies. A good way to start a rally, get two doubles back-to-back. You got a run in, a guy on second with nobody out.
Absolutely.
It's a good way to put a rally together. And that's what they did against Cincinnati. Now, am I saying it's going to happen against Arrieta? No. But if you have a guy like Josh Harrison, who might be able to put one in a gap somewhere, preferably to the opposite field, which is the way I think you beat Arrieta. Shorter swing, opposite field, and let it travel. Josh Harrison might be the guy that can do that, and all you need is a base hit behind him, or maybe move him over the third and a fly ball to the outfield for an out. Gets him home, and that gets you a run.
Yeah, you can't.
But Harrison's a guy that can start that rally.
Right. You can't be relying on the long ball tonight.
No.
You cannot rely on it. If it happens, awesome.
And that's
right.
Either team.
Right. No, no, absolutely. I mean, I think for both teams, it's going to be interesting to see how the ball is going to be flying out of PNC. We'll see how that ends up closer to game time. But I think you both teams. And when you say that, though, I'm also not saying that the Pirates need to be very timid at the plate, taking
right.
That first pitch. You should not be taking that first pitch and giving Arrieta an opportunity to get ahead of the count early. Need to be swinging at those first pitch strikes and just getting on base, making contact. And because being at the game last year with Bumgarner, the longer it went without getting a hit, and then only having that one and only having two, and it just sucks the wind out of you. It sucks the wind out of the fan base and obviously in the dugout. So you just need to put some hits together, even if it doesn't make some offense early, just to get the confidence there, to get those hits going. And, I mean, a guy that hasn't given up, he's given up four hits in four out of his last 12 starts. So I mean, I think it's just the mental game of baseball and trying to just not overthink everything. And I think this is the longest break that the Pirates or any team has had since the All-Star break. You get 2 days now to think about this game and to think about Arrieta and to think about Cole and for us to talk about them. And I'm ready for. I want 8 o'clock to get here.
To a good key example to everything you just laid out. The last time they faced Arrieta on Sunday Night Baseball at Wrigley Field, the seventh inning, Gregory Polanco gets a pitch on the outer half, takes it to the opposite field, gets on with a single. He steals second base, and we'll point this out also. Jake Arrieta has allowed the fourth most stolen bases in Major League Baseball for any pitcher. He's allowed 27. Now, granted, Gerrit Cole is number 5, and he's allowed 25, but what does Polanco do? Steal second base almost immediately. He gets there. And then Arrieta, finally facing a little bit of adversity, lets one go, hits Andrew McCutchen. You got runners on first and second with no one out.
Something cooking.
You got something going on. It was one out. And then Aramis Ramirez comes up. First pitch he sees, Arrieta busts him inside, and he grounds into a double play. Innings like that. outcomes like that are what need to be prevented.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you get runners on with Arrieta, you got to be a little bit smarter. In which case, you're probably looking for a certain pitch on a certain part of the plate, and you want to try to avoid grounding into that double play because he's good at getting ground balls when he needs them. So an inning like that, that started as well as it did, you needed to carry over and finish better than it did. But that's one of those things that you build, and you go back and say, this is where we had a shot to get to him, and this is where things went wrong.
Yeah, and that's the key. I think there's a difference between being very timid at the plate and taking that first pitch strike and really trying to get his pitch count up, which I think is just a baseball blunder in itself.
He's had so many 100-pitch games that he's won, I don't think it matters at this point.
And to Joe Maddon, it certainly doesn't matter. He'll put him 200 pitches, he'd still be out there as long as he's not giving anything up. But I think from that point, from your point on – Once you get guys in scoring position, you have to shorten everything up and not allow, maybe take that first pitch now when you have runners in scoring position, and just making sure that when you plunk a guy and you put runner in scoring position and you have two of your faster guys on the base pads, a double inning double play is the last thing that you want. At this point, fly out to right, get Polanco over to third, something. You know, just get the ball in the air, do something that isn't going to be the double play. Shortening everything up. And this is where it's interesting with baseball players and, having the same approach regardless of the situation versus having a different approach based on the situation. And
I agree.
I think that differentiates the difference between good baseball players and great baseball players is what do I need to do to get us on the board, to make something happen, and not just go up and say, I'm going to take my swings and I'm going to let whatever happens, happens.
That's a good point. Way to point that out. Matt Fargo, Chance Sports Network, also doing a lot of different things. You're all over the place.
I dabble. So
we won't even go down the list because it's just too long. Joining us right now on Trip Live Radio. Let's jump into football because we've talked Pirates already for almost 20 minutes here. So let's move some stuff around here. Steelers in San Diego on Monday night, 2-2, pretty devastating loss Thursday night. I was there, lost against Baltimore. A game that I thought that it, for all intents and purposes, the Steelers should have won. You have the ball on the other team's 29-yard line with 2 minutes left, and you can't put it away. I think that's just a very terrible way to lose a football game. Of course, Ben Roethlisberger injury to his left leg. He'll still be out for at least a few more weeks. Mike Vick in the position as the starting quarterback now, at least for the duration until Ben Roethlisberger comes back. Of course, his signing was somewhat controversial in the area from this season so far, because a handful of things have happened. The Steelers are on their fourth kicker, by the way. There's that, too.
Fourth.
New defensive coordinator. Dick LeBeau is gone. There are so many sub-stories to this season. And we're 4 weeks in.
Yeah.
We're going into week five.
Yeah.
And we've got a whole bunch of subplots
this
season.
We have 16 weeks worth of stories to talk about.
It's unbelievable. What has stuck out the most to you this season? What maybe has surprised you the most so far about this team?
I think the defense. Quite frankly, I think they have gelled a lot faster than everybody thought that they were going to gel. Keith has done a great job. I knew that he was going to be able to. It was a very easy, just move you right into the position. You know, Keith has been, I think, knowing that it was his position eventually.
Right. He was always a guy in waiting.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, to me, the defense has completely surprised me. You know, the secondary, We could use some help there. Obviously, the opener was pretty rough, but I think partially that was not necessarily execution by players, but personnel that was in during those plays. You need to and to me, you look at last week. I don't put as much of a blame on the missed kicks as I do coaching. And the play calling there towards the end. I mean, fourth and one. And it gets to a point where in the NFL, I think all the coaches get develop this ego and they say, everybody in the stadium thinks that I'm giving it to Le'Veon Bell. So I'm not going to do that.
Because everybody expects me to.
Exactly.
Right.
And I'm going to have Mike Vick turn around and throw a ball 40 yards across the field trying to hit Antonio Brown on a fourth down and one play. And if it worked, I can say, ha, I told you so. And to me, why? What are you? What is the point in all of that? So, and you know, it's as much Haley's fault as it is Tomlin's, because Tomlin's the head coach, and you know, a lot of people are like, "Oh, that was Haley's decision." Tomlin can.
He still has veto power.
Yeah, there's no question he does. There's no question he does. And both of those fourth down plays, oh, just totally, totally abysmal. And I said in the beginning part of the fourth quarter, we're going to lose this game. And everyone was around, we're winning. What are you talking? I said, I could feel it just, we could not find a way to punt. Brown drops the touchdown. There was just, everything was going. It was one of those games where the Steelers have been on the other side, where they've trailed the entire part of the game, and some way, somehow, Roethlisberger leads them down the field at the end to win it. And I just have that feeling for Baltimore. And sure enough, they were able to finally punch it in and get the field goal and win it. And boy, just that one, you really hope that doesn't come back to haunt them when we're talking playoffs and positioning and are they going to get in or aren't they, or wild card or division or whatever.
I talked to this was last Friday. We were on the Ike Taylor Show live at the Sports Grill in Cranberry. Actually, there will be the next Ike Taylor Show will be October 16th. Sports Grill in Cranberry. Check it out. TripleLiveRadio.com.
Name drop.
I got a promo, man.
Shameless plug.
I'm involved, so I gotta make sure it gets out there. But the one thing I asked Ike about it, I asked him specifically from the defensive standpoint, just how hard it is to keep trying to stop a team when they keep getting other opportunities. Another thing I asked him was, what do you tell a teammate in Josh Scobie's position when you're in that position to help your team and you just fall short? And he says, you got to have faith in him. He says, every guy's going to have a game where he makes a mistake. And the only thing you could do is put your arm around him and say, hey, man, we're going to have to come to you again sometime. So you just got to be ready for it.
And is it ironic in any way? And boy, are we going to be interested to see what happens with Breswell, right?
Oh,
because now I thought the Scobie decision was awesome. I didn't think we were going to get a better kicker.
I thought
at
he was the
time.
Best guy available.
Yeah,
same thing when they signed Mike Vick, best guy available.
Right,
made sense.
And you know he was coming into last week. He was 5 for 5 in game winning field goals, including
right.
one at Heinz Field,
right.
in a playoff game in January with bad weather, and it just happened. And I thought, on that Monday or on that Friday morning after that loss, I said, how would you feel? You know, Josh, you have 2 bad weeks at work. And
that's
then,
like an average week for me.
And then, but then you wake up and all of Pittsburgh hates you.
That's also close to an average week for me.
More me than you, my friend.
This is true. You got me there. You do have me on that one. This is true.
But it's just I don't put as much on, and it's funny because he's already been contacted by 5 different teams to get re-signed. So he's going to take his $1.9 million from the Steelers and then go get signed by another team.
Well, it's interesting because after Thursday night, you would have thought, okay, maybe this is a Steelers problem. But then you look around the league after the end of games,
yeah.
after Monday night, 16 kicks missed by NFL kickers during Week 4.
Scobie's replacement.
Including Scobie's replacement in Jacksonville. So this isn't just a Steelers problem. This is a league-wide
yeah.
problem. There's like a kicking epidemic going on
yeah.
in the National Football League.
Oh, there's no question. And it's, you know, even at the beginning part, Adam Vinatieri for Indianapolis at the beginning part of this season was missing kicks. And so now you're like, what's going on? You know, Mr. Clutch. Adam,
if there is a Hall of Fame kicker right now in this current group, it's probably Adam Vinatieri.
Absolutely. There's no question. And, you know, he's turned some things around as of late. But, yeah, I don't know what it is. It hasn't been as much of the missed extra points. We've seen them. They've happened. But it's the big-time game-winning, game-deciding kicks. You know, Jacksonville, they missed 3 last week that they absolutely should have won that game. I mean, Jacksonville was the equivalent of what the Steelers were last
Pretty
week.
Pretty much,
really.
Which makes it even more ironic
right.
considering that Scobie came from Jacksonville.
Right.
Like, what? Wait a minute.
But and that's what I was saying, too, is so, and I get, you know, the Steelers, they work them out at Heinz Field. The weather was conducive to really giving someone a great tryout. But now you take the veteran, and now we're going to go with someone who has not kicked a piece of rubber through yellow goalposts in the National Football League. He is now the Pittsburgh Steelers kicker. And it's like,
Well, the last time they made that decision was a guy named Jeff Reed. And he delivered quite a few times during the course of his time here in Pittsburgh.
I'm really glad that that's over, by the way. Jeez. Jeez, oh, man.
A lot of clamoring for Jeff Reed. Oh, most of it from Jeff Reed himself.
I've heard enough from Jeff Reed already. I mean, I'm sure he's a great financial advisor at that car dealership down there in North Carolina, and he could stay doing that. 4 years out of the NFL, we're going to call Jeff Reed up. Yinzer Nation
at its finest
in that moment.
They don't disappoint, do they?
No,
they don't
disappoint. Hopefully they don't disappoint tonight.
I hope so, too. I want to see a good turnout from that crowd there. I think this is that time for this fan base to really embrace the moment. Because two years ago, it was more, we're here, it's finally happened, and that was the excitement. Then last year was, okay, we've been here before, let's, even though there was some hesitation because it might not have been the best of circumstances for the team, but we've been here before, so let's try to make this happen, or let's at least try to get through this. This time around, it's okay. We got good competition on the mound. We got our best guy. This is the best team of this era that we've had this past 3 years. Let's get behind them like we did 2 years ago. That's what I'm hoping for, at least. Will it be that way? We'll find out in hours here. And I'm like you. I'm like, 8 o'clock needs to get here. Just get here so we can get this done.
Yeah.
But let's jump to something else here because it's something I want to touch on. And you've done a lot of great work with the Champ Sports Network. Now you've got two individual school networks from the Champ Sports Network. You have the Our Lady of Sacred Heart Sports Network, as well as Central Catholic Sports Network. You've been doing a lot of good work there as far as those two individual programs.
Yeah, obviously, we've seen them a lot. I saw a lot more of Central last year when we were doing their games. And this year, with the expectation of all the Division I prospects, my goodness, you could put Central Catholic's lineup up against some Division I AA, see what happens, maybe. I don't know. Put them up against your Dukes, see what happens. I don't know.
Well, Duquesne has become the Whippio recruiting hotbed. Yeah,
they certainly have.
They pulled together some names that we're very familiar with. Dylan Beekles over there from Montour. Right. Wayne Capers from Chartiers Valley's there. Armstead Williams out of Gateway, he's there. Trenton Coles from Clareton, he was at Pitt for a while, and he's at Duquesne now. So they're putting together some really good Whippio talent over there. And they also got Brett Brumbaugh.
That's right.
The state's all-time leading passer out of South Fayette. So he's wearing Duquesne blue and red. So you know I'm excited about hearing that. But at the same time, I got to ask you about this because we talked about Central and the amount of talent they have there. What was your reaction to that game against North Allegheny? It was a big win for the Tigers.
Yeah, well, it was huge. And I think that it really has shaken things up in Quad A. And that's, to me, when I look at the Whippio high school football landscape this year, it's kind of been turned on its head. Kind of. Triple A, you have the West Allegheny, and they're still around. But Thomas Jefferson, two section losses. They're going to back into the playoffs, maybe.
Up is down out in Jefferson.
Yeah. Bill's going to start wearing pants is how confused everything is right now.
No chirping shorts. Changing it all up.
Everything is gone
out
there, Thomas Jefferson. And, that's interesting. But getting back to N.A. and Central Catholic, I wish I was there just to be able to see, because I truly did believe that Central Catholic was going to run the table. I thought that they had the best team by a long shot in Quad A. That is clearly not the case. And, you have great coaches in Western Pennsylvania high school football, and Art Walker Jr.'s one of them.
And he's a legacy of a good coaching family.
Exactly. Yeah, so you can't count them out against the Tigers. Everybody gets up. It's North Allegheny Central Catholic. You get up for that game. NA got up for that game. They probably were, bulletin board material all over the place for this Central Catholic game. But the thing that I've seen from Central, and I did almost all of their games last year and a handful in the years prior, is their offense. They just can't figure it out on offense. I mean, you had Division I quarterback and J.J. Constantino a few years ago, and he is now starting at Florida State, oh, by the way, and he didn't put the ball in the air, ever. Like six, seven, eight times a game, they're putting the ball in the air. And to me, that's, if Central Catholic, if they've had the great running back, they've been able to do something. Go back Kyle Wilson, Damian Jones-Moore, Eugene Jarvis, even back. I mean, they've always had the
Luigi Listabrenza.
Luigi Listabrenza, another guy who's tearing it up at IUP, by the way.
Doing really well.
But you've always had that factor back that has been the staple on the offensive side of the ball. Central Catholic plays Pittsburgh-style football. Great defense, partnered with the run 3 yards in a cloud of tire pellets because they don't play on grass anymore. And that's been their MO, but I'm not necessarily sure they have that offense, and that's, to me, that's what I've seen. That's why I saw them fall short of the Whipple title game last year, Whipple championship last year, went to the title game. And, you know, you got, you know, Render and Upper St. Clair, they're struggling right now. Woody High sitting on top. Penn Trafford, they're doing something big again.
Some really good work on Penn Trafford.
But, again, Penn Trafford has done this before the last 2 years.
We've seen it.
Yeah, we've seen this show before, and it ends in right around week 10 of the WPL playoffs, or, you know, week 10 of the season, first round of the playoffs, second round of the playoffs. So, Quad A is, I mean, I still think Central Catholic, Woody, NA, and then you got Pine Richland. I mean,
good quarterback over there. They got another one, yeah. Got another one.
Like, in a couple years, in 2 years' time, Pitt could have a quarterback battle between two Pine Richland graduates.
It could very happen. Or take it a step further, we could see, and this is maybe a few years down the road, God forbid, maybe we see a Pine Richland quarterback for Pitt starting against a Pine Richland quarterback for Penn State? ?
Wow, yeah.
I mean, we could look at that too. That might be the case. Would that be, what, 2019? I mean, that's something you could actually...
It'll be old.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'll be birthday number, what, 38 by then? Good God.
Happy birthday on the air. I can wish you happy birthday now. I was going to get you a box of pens for your birthday.
I got to get more pens. My pens disappear here. I'm very particular about my pens, and they keep vanishing and getting up and walking away. But there's one thing I want to get back. I want to get to you because I want to really hear your opinion on this. Matt Fargo, Champ Sports Network, joining us right now on Triple Live Radio. We talked about the Whipple football landscape and how it's changed, and a lot of things going on now that could really change everything, not just Quad A in every classification. The discussion of this sixth classification in the PIAA system. What are your thoughts on this? I know Kevin Gorman feels very strongly about it. He and Chris Harlan have talked on our high school football program on the Kevin Gorman show. They've talked a lot about it, but I want to get your take on the situation and the possibility of going to six classifications in PIAA.
Well, and I've talked to some athletic directors around there, and it's so mixed. It really is a mixed feeling because the worst bottom-of-the-barrel teams that have small enrollments that haven't been able to do much late. They're putting out 30, 35 kids, maybe even less than that in a lot of cases. They like it because you're going to kind of level the playing field a little bit more with the level of competition and how many kids are going to be able to be put out onto the field. You know, I did Olsh North Catholic, Cardinal World North Catholic, beg your pardon.
Yes, you can't say North Catholic anymore. They yell at you.
Yeah. But I
came back to town and the world went crazy.
Hey, he was right next to the Pope the whole time he was here. So
that's our Pittsburgh's guy, man, yeah, Donald Worrell.
But I did that game a couple weeks ago, and you know Jason Gilden and Joey Porter are on the sidelines. Cardinal War North Catholic rolls out 45 deep, and these brand new spanking new Nike jerseys, and Olsh runs out there with 22 guys maybe, and it's just like and. And Olsh beat Cardinal War North. It was North Catholic when Olsh beat them like 3 years ago, which was 2 years prior to them winning the state championship. And I'm looking at, these weren't the same North Catholic kids that Olsh played 3 years ago. It doesn't look like the same kids here. But as far as a whole, the 6A, the highest classification, if they do this, three WPIL teams would be in 6A. Butler, Seneca Valley, and North Allegheny, your three biggest schools in the WPIAL.
Hmm.
So then the question is, well, who do they play?
Right.
Well, they said, well, they'll play 6A, the three WPIAL teams that are in 6A will play down to 5A in the regular season, playing within the district. And then once the district playoffs start, they'll have to rent charter jets to go to the other places in the WP or in the PIAA.
They might be able to afford that in North Allegheny, though.
Yeah, the U got that down. Butler,
they can get the Jets for the North Allegheny.
Yeah, Butler, Seneca Valley. I don't know if they're going to want to put
so much.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to want to put all that money in. Bobby Bizzuto, though, he'll put out the Jets. I'm surprised they don't have one yet.
They're getting there.
They are.
That's the latest capital campaign. They haven't told you yet.
But I think what you're going to end up seeing, if this happens, and I know there are a lot of people that are confident that it is going to inevitably happen because our folks out there in Philly are really pushing for it to happen.
They are.
And there's a ton more bigger schools. There's a lot more 6A schools out in that neck of the woods.
It's a much bigger market.
But what I think will happen, this is my prediction, if it does happen, I think you're going to see a disbandment of the WPIL from the PIAA. WPI will pull out of the PIAA. They will become, once again, their own individual, own regulated district. And the PIAA will say, all right, we're going to make our own District 7. And then these area teams are going to get to pick between being a WPIL school and not playing for a state championship or the new District 7. That's what I think is going to end up happening. And I think you're going to see the WPIL haves and the WPIL have-nots, and that's what you're going to end up getting if that ends up happening. Because there's a lot of teams on both sides of the coin that it benefits them. Obviously, it ruins the WPIL championships at Heinz Field. There's a lot of things on both sides of the coin, but I think that's what you're going to end up getting if it does happen.
We will have to stay tuned on that. That's a changing landscape that could still really take a big turn as we go along, but we are out of time for today. That's what happens
get us
when we get Matt Fargo in the room. We end up going off for, I mean, I think we just put like 40 minutes in just now, but it, you know what? It goes so fast when it's you and I appreciate it. And
great time as always, brother.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Have fun at the game. I'm sure you'll enjoy yourself there.
A ticket for you, by the way.
What's that?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, don't mess with me like that. That's not fair. See how cruel he is? No, but we appreciate it. We got to do this more often, man. Of course.
Absolutely.
I imagine as we get closer to the Whitfield playoffs, we'll have you on. We'll talk some more high school football, so we'll have that for you also. But in the meantime, thanks everybody for listening. Check out the podcast, sportstalk.triblive.com, iTunes. If you have Android Podcast Addict, you can get it there also. No matter how you get it, make sure you get it. Check out the blog. Arietta's coming. Don't be scared. Garrett Cole's the reason why. In the meantime, thanks everybody for listening. We'll try to be better next week. To quote the great Jay-Z, you could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate it. Top of the hour, Pirates preview, Jason Rawlinson from Rumburner joining us. Shout out to Matt Fargo. Thanks again for joining us here on the show. Back at it next week. You are listening to Trib Live Radio.